Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. This is the reading of God's word. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear, so that we may truly hear your voice through your word. And as we hear your voice, let our faith grow. Let us grow to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. O Father, we pray that the gospel will be preached, and all of your people who will hear this gospel will rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Let us, through your word, see what your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done and accomplished for us. And let us give him all the glory. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're looking at the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Once again, like I did last couple times, let me read you the Westminster Larger Catechism, Numbers 144 and 145. What are the duties required in the ninth commandment? The duties required in the ninth commandment are the preserving and promoting of truth between man and man, and the good name of our neighbor as well as our own, appearing and standing for the truth, and from the heart, sincerely, freely, clearly, and fully speaking the truth, and only the truth. In matters of judgment and justice, and in all other things whatsoever, a charitable esteem of our neighbors, loving, desiring, and rejoicing in their good name, sorrowing for and covering of their infirmities, freely acknowledging of their gifts and grace, defending their innocency, a ready receiving of a good report, and unwillingness to admit of an evil report concerning them, discouraging tale-bearers, flatterers, the slanderers, love and care of our own good name, and defending it when need requires, keeping of lawful promises, studying and practicing of whatsoever things are true, honest, lovely, and of good report. Question 145. What are the sins forbidden in the ninth commandment? The sins forbidden in the ninth commandment are all prejudicing the truth and the good name of our neighbors as well as our own, especially in public judicature, giving false evidences, suborning false witnesses, wittingly appearing and pleading for an evil cause, outfacing and overbearing the truth, passing unjust sentence, calling evil good and good evil, rewarding the wicked according to the work of the righteous and the righteous according to the work of the wicked, forgery, concealing the truth, undue silence in a just cause, and holding our peace when iniquity calls for either a reproof from ourselves or complaint to others, speaking the truth unseasonably or maliciously to a wrong end, or perverting it to a wrong meaning, or in doubtful and equivocal expressions to the prejudice of truth or justice, speaking untruth, lying, slandering, backbiting, detracting, tale-bearing, whispering, scoffing, reviling, rash, harsh, and partial censuring, misconstructing intentions, words, and actions, flattering, vainglorious, boasting, thinking or speaking too highly or too meanly of ourselves or others, denying the gift and grace of God, aggravating smaller faults, hiding, excusing, or extenuating of sins when called for a free confession, unnecessary discovering of infirmities, raising false rumors, receiving and countenancing evil reports and stopping our ears against just defense, evil suspicion, envying or grieving at the deserved credit of any endeavoring or desiring to impair it, rejoicing in their disgrace and infamy, scornful contempt, fond admiration, breach of lawful promises, neglecting such things as are of good report, and practicing or not avoiding ourselves, or not hindering what we can in others, such things as procure an ill name. Pretty long answer. And I hope that you could go home and read it for yourself slowly, so that what it really means to obeying this commandment. Now, brothers and sisters, why do we lie? Why do we lie? We lie because of fear and hatred or and convenience. And there is nothing more deadly and poisonous than lying when it comes to the relationships among people. One of the saddest truths about today is that we are not able to trust anyone. And it's really a pathetic situation. Sin, from the very beginning, it started with a lie. The Satan is the father of all lies. John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil." Jesus is speaking to Jews. "And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and speaks a lie. He speaks from his own nature whenever he speaks a lie." I'm skipping a line here. Let me read that again. "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desire of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The Satan is the father of lies, and for him to speak lie is to be himself. He knows his own eternal destruction, but he suppresses it with his unrighteousness. He deceives himself. And this is how unregenerated people are also. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And Romans chapter 1 verse 32 says, "And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." See, they know, and yet they don't. And they suppress the truth. And they're suppressing the truth. They're so good at it that they completely deceive themselves. Whenever someone lies, he or she is imitating Satan. He or she is witnessing the life of hell. The Christian must not lie. Period. Let us look at a few things concerning this commandment. First, we must not lie in the courtroom. false witnessing in the courtroom is sin. Flat out says, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. I don't care if it's your family member or someone close to you, because you are swearing on that Bible. I don't know why, you know, these people don't even believe in God and yet they bring up Bible and make us swear. We should not lie. Must not lie. We must not make any false report, including, as we have seen last time, false report on our income taxes. It's lying. And we must not lie. And what about the white lies? You know, so-called innocent lies. You know, we all have cell phones these days, so I don't have to do this anymore. But, you know, long time ago, when my kids were very little, we have, you know, only phone we had was at home. And then somebody calls and I tell my son, tell him I'm not here. You know, okay, you know, I may not hurt anybody by doing that, but it's still a lie. It is still wrong. How about gossiping? Telling a bad report of someone to the third person. You know, this is poison to the life of church. When someone gossips about other people to you, tell that person to stop. Tell that person that you do not want to hear it. And never relay what you heard to some other person, because how do you know that what you heard is really true? And even if you know that it is true, what benefit does the person who will hear it will get? It is only negative. Gossiping does not benefit anyone. It only damages and it hurts the relationship among the church members. And I praise God and thank Him that I don't see too much of gossiping going on in this church, and I really appreciate how you keep it to minimal. What about lying during a war? You know, the soldier come to your house asking whether you are hiding certain people in your home, you know, that kind of case. Is that okay to lie? We are living in a fallen world, and sometimes we face a situation in which it seems the best thing to do is lie. And I and you also would lie to save lives in those cases. But that does not mean lying is okay. Ultimately, our eternal life has nothing to do with lying. Heavenly life has nothing to do with life. Heaven is a place where there is no lie, no falsehood. Go to Genesis 3 with me. Genesis 3. I'm going to read to you from verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? See, Satan comes to Adam and Eve, but he comes to Eve to tempt. And he comes and says this, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. You see, Satan falsely represents what God has said. Let's look at what God has said in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." God actually said to eat freely from any tree of the garden except from just one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan adds his own words to what God has said to deceive Eve. Has God said, "You shall not eat from any tree of the garden"? Why does Satan do this? Why does anyone who will come to you and tempt you will do this kind of stuff? By doing this, it creates a complaint in your heart. And that is why Satan does this. So if you're upset of something, be careful when someone comes and discuss that issue with you, because they might do this. Maybe not intentionally. Now, Eve is being tempted here. But she does the same. Let's read verse 2 and 3 in Genesis 3. The woman said to the serpent, see, she already listened to serpent, and in her heart there is created this complaint, this displeasure. Already. The woman said to the serpent, "From the tree, fruit of the trees of the garden, we may eat." So it seems like she is correcting Satan. "But from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." God never said not to touch it. But you already know that it is working. What Satan is doing is working in Eve's heart. We see the displeasure of Eve about the command of God. And in chapter 3, verse 4, we see the flat denial by Satan of what God has said. The Satan said to woman, you surely will not die. Flat out lie. He lies. He rebels against God's word. And after they committed the sin, Adam and Eve hide from God. And when God finds them, they give excuses after excuses. See, this is a picture of this world. This is a picture of sin. This is a picture of falsehood. And by lying, they ultimately make God a liar. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. "The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son." God has already spoken, and they don't believe. Thus, they make God a liar. And this is what's happening in the unbeliever's life. Biblically speaking, all non-believers are liars. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is an antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is not about morals. Yes, morals are included. But the true lie, it's about denying Christ. That is the ultimate lie and ultimate falsehood. They're making God as a liar. Even though he said it, they say, no, that is not true. They're accusing God of saying something that is not true. Psalm 116 verse 11b says, all men are liars. We are all liars. But you and I in Jesus Christ have been saved out of all that. Thus, in Christ, you are no longer a liar. And this is the fact, this is the reality that you must believe. Lying goes against your nature now in Christ. Remember the purpose of the Exodus. God's people are saved to be the possession of God, God's kingdom of priests, God's holy nation, God's holy people. And this is our eternal reality in Jesus Christ. It's not about being morally wrong or morally right. We're talking about who you are. What did Jesus do for you? What kind of person that Jesus, when he saved you, what kind of person did he make you to be? You have become a God's son in heaven who will never lie. Forever and ever. So why do it now? It goes against who you are. It goes against what Christ has done for you. It's rebelling against what Jesus has accomplished for you. Let us look at heaven through some of these verses that I will read to you. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 13, the remnant of Israel, it is referring ultimately God's elect in Jesus Christ, you and I, who will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. For they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. This is how we're going to be in heaven. No falsehood whatsoever, no lies. Psalm 15 verse 1 and 2, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity, the works righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 through 5. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion. This is picture of heaven here. And with him, 144,000, symbolic number, including all of God's people. Having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who have been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with woman, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. Isn't that interesting in that passage? It's describing you and I in heaven, describing the citizens of heaven. God could have said all kinds of things about us. But after he says that we praise God, we worship God, then he says, they do not lie. If lying is just trivial thing that it really doesn't matter, then why do you think he wrote it like this? Revelation 22 verse 15, outside, meaning, you know, hell, are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Again, isn't it interesting? Person who lies is put it in the same group as immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters. You have to understand, lying is serious sin because it is connected to the gospel, which is the truth. Especially when Christians lie, it will hinder us from preaching and sharing the gospel, the truth. That will be the worst thing that would happen to us. That if people cannot believe us, trust us, how are we gonna share the gospel, the truth? Did you know that whenever we lie by His name, we bring shame to God's name? Leviticus chapter 19 verse 12, you shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. It's getting cold. Seems like. These days, I try to end early, if you noticed it. Maybe you didn't. I did. And then even today. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let our yes be yes and no be no. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37 says, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. So don't say maybe. Let your yes be yes and no be no. None of this maybe. What are you really saying when you say maybe? It's an easy way to get out of that situation, right? You just say maybe, even though you have no intention of doing it. We should not even do this. It doesn't fit for Christians. Second Satan is the liar and the murderer. Jesus Christ is the truth. It's all about to whom you belong. We must not lie, no matter how inconvenient it will make our lives, or no matter how much you have to sacrifice and lose because you have to tell the truth. See, this is what this sinful world is so afraid of. And this world must get rid of the truth, the gospel. Let us go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Now, I'm going to read you a long passage. This is after Jesus was captured and he's being interrogated. Jesus is. And look at all these people who come out in this passage. Look at what they're doing. Chapter 14, Mark. I'm going to read to you from verse 53. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the officers and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death. And they were not finding any. So many were giving false testimony against him. But their testimony was not consistent. Some stood up and began to give false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.' Not even in this respect was their testimony consistent." The high priest stood up and came forward and questioned Jesus, saying, "Do you not answer? What is that these men are testifying against you?" But he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him and saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of Blessed One?" But Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Tearing his clothes, the high priest said, "What further need do we have to witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Some began to spit at him, and to blindfold him, and to bear him with their fists, and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers received him with slaps in the face. As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus Nazarene." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." And he went out onto the porch. The servant girl saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, "This is the one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." Do you see what's going on in this darkest night in history? All are liars. All are false. Not just the world, not just religious people, even people who are close to Jesus. They're all liars. And this is how it is. They lied to kill Jesus. Even people close to Jesus is denying Jesus. Only Jesus speaks the truth. Even though that truth that he speaks will get him killed. He's the only one who speaks the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Isaiah 53 verse 9, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 22 through 24 speaks of Jesus Christ who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he is the only one who has lived the life of truth. And he lived that life of truth for you in your places. So that life of truth can be your life forever. And you will live that life forever. In heaven, when you live in heaven, forever and ever, you will not lie. I will find no deceit in your lips forever. And this is what has happened to you. This is what kind of salvation that you have received. He has paid the penalty of our sins of lying and falsehood. He died on the cross for our sins in our places. Oh, brothers and sisters, you are God's holy children on whose lips there will be no deceit forever and ever. Thus, the command from God, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 through 25, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside of old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. You must understand, God is not just saying to us, don't lie because lying is bad. God will never tell us to do anything in that way. It's all about who you have become, what Christ has done for you, when he saved you and made you a new person. What kind of person do you think that person, the new person that you have become? Unless you don't believe, you have become a God's son who will never lie forever and ever in that glorious place. That faith has to dominate you. That is why you're not going to lie. It's not because you're telling yourself, oh, no, lying is bad. Yeah, it is bad, but that's not why you don't lie. It is in terms of Christ. You have to understand everything in terms of Christ. Otherwise, it's not Christian. Even you go to other religion, they will tell you not to lie. Are we saying the same thing by saying don't lie, just like all these other religion, you will go there, they will tell you not to lie. Are we saying the same thing? No. They're coming from moral terms. We're saying this in terms of Christ. It's because of what Christ has done, what he has accomplished, because of that, and what we confess to believe, that we don't lie. It's about who we are in Jesus Christ. That's why it's all about faith. Do you believe? Anything that is not of faith is sin, God says. So even if you don't lie, but it's not the result of your faith, then you're just bad as lying. You're sinning. God saved these people and gave them these Ten Commandments. Through those Ten Commandments, God is actually telling them whom they have become. That's why these commandments give us so much joy. It's not burden to us, because it tells us what kind of blessings that we already possess, what kind of person that I have already become. I am a person who is able to obey this now in Christ. That is why he commands me to do this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You have become in Jesus Christ, who will not bear false witness, who will not lie forever and ever. You have been recreated in the image of your God. See, Satan wants to expose the sins of Adam and Eve, but God covers their sins. Let us cover the sins of our neighbor and our brothers and sisters. Let us speak the truth in love all the time, because that's just who we are as people who have been saved out of this world. This world who will not receive the truth, who will always deny the truth. And that's exactly how this sinful world is. There's no truth in it, because they have rejected Jesus Christ, the truth. You have received him, meaning you have received the truth. You have the truth. Now live a life that reflects that reality, how we already possess the truth, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have saved us from this world, the world filled with lies and falsehood. Oh Father, let us be more and more like Christ, on whose lips there was no deceit. Let us speak the truth, and truth only, in love. Let us speak Jesus Christ. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.